But we also proved that I'm not always nice.
But even when you're upset and even when you're ticked off, you still come from a place of compassion and love. Whereas I'm just old, bitter, and jaded.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Okay, serious question. Can you be a woman of value if you don't get married and have children? 844-967-2789. I can't even get through that question with a serious face. But seriously, apparently, according to the speakers at Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit,
yay,
you cannot be a woman of value unless you give up your career aspirations and be a trad wife, which I just found out this morning means traditional wife.
I'm going to stay quiet during this entire
Greg Bach. Greg Bach, we want your thoughts on this. Of course, we want Jane Madden's thoughts on this, and we want your thoughts on this. 844-967-2789. We're going to go through some of the, my words, bonkers things that went down at this summit that is targeted towards women who are in high school and college. So we're talking like 16 to 22-year-old young women at the Turning Points USA Annual Young Women's Leadership Summit that took place in Texas. And a lot of this reporting came from Madeline Peltz for Media Matters, who suffered through the weekend.
Truly.
Get her a drink.
She deserves a prize.
And my biggest takeaway from this, and so, as was hers, is the hypocrisy of the women who were speakers. So we're talking about Candace Owens from Daily Wire. We're talking about Laura Ingraham from Fox. Alex Clark, who's a Turning Points podcaster and media, like she's got a huge following on social media. Allie Beth Stackey. So some of the biggest women voices in staunch conservative media.
How was that again?
Staunch. But, you know, and I follow, because I try to follow all of these different things just to see what is the message that they're putting out. I'm like, I follow the Allie Beth, I follow, and hers is very religious. But none of these women have given up their careers to be mothers. All of these women are very successful, have huge followings, have a huge audience, and even Turning Points USA, the people who work for them, their chief marketing officer, Marina Menez, in her biography, says nothing about her achievements as a wife or mother. And the same goes for the vice president of events, Lauren Tontich, and who's also so they're hiring and paying women speakers, and they're employing high-powered women. And yet the overriding message of this conference was, give up your career, give up your birth control. And I'm so confused. There's the hypocrisy, but I'm also like, if someone out there can explain, what is the political end game of doing this? Because we've talked a lot in the last week and a half about daycares closing. And I put another video out last night that kind of blew up. And that's a lot of people in the comment section saying they want women to stay home. But what is the political end game? Because we know for the economy, that's not necessarily a good thing. So I would love to hear from you. What is the end game of telling women to go back to the house and not focus on a career? 844-967-2789. Greg and Jane. I'll open it up to you, too.
Okay, here's what I think.
I was going to say, I think no matter what, we are going to hear Jane's opinion today on this one.
I think the goal is to make women meek and obedient and subservient. And therefore, they will vote like their husbands.
Which to me seems very, very... I said before, it's a lot like the concept of prison. What do they want to do to prisoners? They want to erase their identity. They want to make them feel like they have no individuality whatsoever. When you put them in that situation, when their whole life is defined by other people and the achievements of others, then what do they have to gain by speaking up?
And maybe it's that's, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's that simple. But as far as, because I do know that after, was it after, I think it was after the midterms where the Jesse Waters, with
yes.
this, he had his
a
whole,
huge hypocrite too.
He had his whole diatribe of, we need, he's like, guys, go marry these women, because basically the demographics voting data came out. Mm-hmm. And
right.
the amount of married women, the only demographic of women who really still voted Republican were like married women, married Republican women.
Yeah.
And so it's like, is the goal the for votes? Is it the reason why we're like pushed, this is like the new mantra? Because at least where the reporting went for this entire event, there was no talk about policy. There was no talk about candidates. It was all state, give up your career, give up birth control, daycare is a myth and a fallacy, and transgender people are coming for your
it's all dog,
everything.
It's all dog whistling and talking points.
And so it's just the, and it's funny because you think about the type of young woman who's aspirational enough to be, you know, these are women who are heading their chapter of turning points on campus, on at their high school or whatever. So like, they're already probably more likely like type A ambitious young girls who are like giving up their weekend to go to a political conference.
Yeah.
This is not like your like apathetic teenager.
Who's going to make their boyfriend's dinner?
And this is the message that you're giving them. And I just, is it as simple as that? It's just because, oh, if they get married young and they become mothers and they don't have their own careers and like they're easier to get their votes.
Well, part of me thinks that it's incredibly naive for people like Jesse Waters and others to think that if these women who voted in the last couple election cycles, if they voted liberal, if a man just walked through the door and said, hey, I'm here to take care of you. I have my job. I have success. I want to be your husband. It sounds ridiculous when you say it, but does that, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a woman. Does that happen to some women who get married and have a life where they're at home with the children? Do they just sort of fall into that? That's another question to ask. That's where I guess it gets a little more nuanced to ask the question of like, when people get married, do they fall into those traditional places that we think are kind of ridiculous now, but they still exist apparently?
Oh, I think the answer to that is absolutely. I mean, the almost everything you hear about like domestic labor,
yeah.
and even when like both if it's a heterosexual relationship and both partners work, the amount of like work, like household work that mm-hmm. the woman typically still does is like exponential.
Yeah.
And so I think there's more dialogue than there used to be about as far as like weaponized incompetence. Do you know what that is?
No, I love it. I mean,
do you know what weaponized incompetence is?
I have no idea.
Oh, I think I do. It sounds like I do know, but go ahead.
No, I would love to hear what you think it is.
I feel like it's something that men do.
It's something anyone can do.
Yeah, where you use your incompetence to get your way or to like get out of doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So like, I don't know. I can't.
I don't know. Do the dishes.
I don't know. Every time I wash the dishes, there's still dirt. You should just do them because I'll take out the trash. That's easier.
Yeah. So it's basically this idea of
I'm so smart.
I don't know how to do it. So you do it better. And so by pretending that I'm incompetent and can't figure it out, I'm still adding to your workload. Yeah. And so there's, you know, that is something that in the last couple of years has like now has a term, right? So I think the even in the most progressive, open-minded heterosexual relationships, those gender roles still come out, and which is a discussion to have. And I would love to hear from you on this. Like, I think this conversation can go a lot of different directions. We're starting with the Turning Points USA Women's Summit just because of how egregious they were in telling young women you have to give up your career. Like, ambitious young women. I want to put that like it's not these are women who are seeking for guidance and want to, and I idolize these women who were on stage who have built audiences of millions, mm-hmm. but then are turning around like, do as I say, yeah, not as I do. Yeah, but
I get to do this.
I just want
to.
But I think
so
it opens up all of this discussion as far as like, where are we in 2023 with women working and wanting to be moms and balancing the two? 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-96-PARTY. We would love to hear from you.
Joe from Appleton is joining us. Good morning, Joe. What do you think?
Hey, gang. I agree that I think it's all an act with the Turning Point women. And I know you're up against a break. I just wanted to point out one more related to Turning Point in a way. Lauren Boebert, who has spoken at many Turning Point events, and who on March 8th this year, which was International Women's Day, tweeted out, "My husband isn't in town today, or I'd make him a sandwich. Happy International Women's Day." Now, this was all of a couple of months, at least, since she had moved out of the house because they were going to get divorced, yep, and a couple of months before she announced that they were splitting up. It is all an act for all this, you know, let's be subservient for, yeah, it's just so they could be pinned down by their overbearing male counterparts. I don't take much stock in it, and I hope the vast majority of women, young women in this country, see through that act.
And here's a question I have, and a really quick question. Since becoming congressional members, Boebert and MTG, who both entered elected office married, are now divorced. Mm-hmm. Has this act destroyed their marriage? Have their husbands like, I can't do this. I can't be associated to you. I can't, like, you're too crazy for me. And I was crazy before.
Boebert's husband doesn't sound like the most stable person. I know nothing
about
MTG.
He's probably weaponized his incompetence.
There you go. All right. Well, we got to take a break, but we would love to hear from you.
Thanks, Joe.
We would love to hear from you on this topic. I think, in general, what is the reason behind conservatives trying to push women back to the household? Do you think if you're out there and you can actually make an argument of why women should stay home because that is the natural order, I'd love to talk to you too. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in just a minute.
Advice as somebody who so badly wants to succeed in surgery, but to get out of residency fellowship, I'm going to be 30 before I can really focus on myself. So what's some advice for really balancing my career as well as venturing into settling down?
Yeah, you're going to have to choose which one matters more, and that will be up to you. So first of all, thank you for being involved with Turning Point USA. So here's my piece of advice. Go try to spend a couple days with babies, and if it doesn't move you to want to have some of your own, then go do the surgeon thing. I mean that. If you don't get baby fever being around young kids as a young lady, then you kind of have your answer. But if you're around a young child or a young baby, or like all of a sudden something greater than yourself gets activated, where all of a sudden you feel maybe a prodding by the Holy Spirit, then you got something to think about. But look, you could potentially do both. You could become an orthopedic surgeon and still do that. But there will be a lot of people that says, oh, just put the family thing on hold and put that on hold. I just want to caution you, a reality is that there are a lot of successful 35-year-old orthopedic surgeons that have cats and not kids. And they're very miserable. Most of the radical left is largely being run by childless young ladies, young women that are in their mid-30s that are super miserable on antidepressants because I think they're missing something.
And with cats.
I was going to say, I wish you would have said 30-something-year-old women with cats.
I miss the cat phase of my life.
Let me tell you something. The left is full of cat ladies and opinions. If you listen to that clip so faintly in the back when he says you got to choose, you hear laughing. I heard laughing as if to say, this fool's funny. Oh, you're serious. God.
It was a heart attack, baby. All right. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And we are trying to make sense of some of the reporting that came out of what went down at the Turning Points USA Young Women's Leadership Summit last weekend, where that was Charlie Kirk, who is the founder of Turning Points.
And I believe single.
And childless.
He's single.
What?
Ladies.
I know.
That adorable little face of his? No one swooped that
you
up.
You mean
yet?
Those giant gums and those tiny teeth?
That great haircut?
You know, what's funny is that, like, all those conspiracy theorists are like, the liberals are huffing babies. This guy just endorsed baby huffing, essentially. He's like, go hang out with babies. That's not creepy. Hey, I'm here to hang out with the babies so I get...
So I can test the waters if I want to do this or not?
He made it sound like it's like a mutation. Like, if you go around babies, you'll become an X-Men. You get baby fever.
So... This has brought up so many things for me because I am obviously someone who didn't get married until I was 36 and pregnant at now as of Sunday, 37. I've always been, you know, I'm ambitious but also was waiting for the right person and the right situation and all the things. And so, you know, it's hilarious to me when, and I would say I hit the jackpot, right? Like I have found the creme de la creme, I would say, of men.
I love him so much.
I know
much.
You do. Greg Bach approves of Michael Sampson.
So big a fan.
And, you know, it's like, thank God I waited. Yeah. Because any of the guys I dated in my 20s would have been, talk about being miserable. I mean, and divorced.
I agree. I didn't get married until I was 34. And I tell people all the time, you know, my friends who are like, you know, I'm sick of being single. I'm like, it's better than being miserable in a relationship because you feel like you have to be in one. And that where we're from, Midwestern area, that's not I got married at 19 or 20, but and that's fine if you're happy, but like, don't do it because you feel like you have to, or because like I will be happy if I'm with someone. That's not guaranteed.
Because then you'll be a woman of value.
I'm definitely a woman of value.
But it brings back there's multiple things here. There's the fact that there's the hypocrisy of the women who spoke at this conference. And their ability to evangelize how the, you know, the how did Candace Owens ended the entire conference by basically saying every ill that we're fighting right now in society has been brought forth by women.
Pretty much because we feel too many things and we have compassion and empathy.
And so she was on that like kick. Alex Clark was basically talking about how the main four lies of modern feminism are birth control, abortion, fertility care, and daycare. And it's all of this, the entire weekend was just rhetoric aimed at 16 to 22-year-old women saying, give up your careers. And I'm so flabbergasted at what the end game becomes. And I guess unless anyone has a different thought, is it just because of voting and thinking that they can control if they get married young, they will to a Christian conservative man? Because there was also, I love the merch that was being sold. So the same guy who started the Right Way or whatever the conservative dating app is, that also I've heard is like just the male to female ratio on that app is like untenable. It's like 5 to 1 or like 10 to 1. And so trying to get a heterosexual match is hard. But they had like a vendor booth there. They're selling sweatshirts that say, dump your liberal boyfriend. There was like bedazzled purses that were the shape of guns. I guess there was like a transphobic tampon line in all of the bathrooms.
And there were a bunch of transphobic speeches, too.
And there's a bunch of transphobic speeches. But it's just like getting back to where... in what back room was the political calculus of this is what we got to do?
And
this is what we got to tell women. This is going to work. This is going to be good for our end game. And I,
Well,
maybe it's just because I can't. It's so hard for me to think that way.
The other question I have is, what are the ramifications of this kind of speech too to the women who go there? I'm like, you know what? This isn't for me. Actually, I thought this was something else, and it's they're telling me to stay at home. They're telling me to choose. I don't like that. And it, will it send them away? So, but
I don't know. I don't know. But we would love to hear from you on this topic. 844-967-2789. In order to be a woman of value, do you have to stay home, get married, and stay home with your kids? This is Ask Goes Wisconsin. We'll be right back. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And we're tussling with the question of what, you know, I think kind of looking backwards in a lot of ways of should women of value not aspire to have careers and more aspire to be able to be home and raise kids? Because according to at least the talking points coming out of Turning Points USA Young Women's Summit, that was like the overriding message. And apparently that was the theme for last year, too. And so I guess to make this a little bit more personal for people who are listening, especially if you are in a heterosexual relationship, if you're a woman, did you work while you were raising kids, especially small kids? Or did you not, I mean, are you maybe not even married? But I think specifically for men who are listening, did your wife work? Because I think, like, this is the thing that there's this image of the traditional family. And I think about it, both of my grandmothers worked. Mm-hmm. My dad's mom was a teacher and then eventually became a principal. And my mom's mom was a nurse. Now, I don't know what the balance was when they had young children and if it was part-time and how they made it work. But certainly I remember going to my grandmother's retirement party. And so it's like, and my mom worked and eventually became part-time and balanced things. But like, is this idea of like, how common was that? Because I think it's also like a misnomer that families could always just, you know, every family could survive off of a single income, let alone if they could survive off a single income now. But it just, I'm so curious of people's personal experience with this. If this is actually the tradition that people are saying that we need to go back to, and like if your family actually looked like this. 844-967-2789.
Scott is on the line from Chicago. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning. Hey, so I am a Christian, and I want to read a little bit of the Bible to the Christians who think that this is okay.
Okay.
All right.
Proverbs 31, 13, and 16. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruits of her hands, she plants a vineyard. Women in the Bible work.
Yeah. Yeah. But we don't listen to that part of the Bible.
And I think that's not only, I mean, if you think about the Bible, for sure.
Exactly.
But also when you think about, like, I remember reading, like, a women in history book in the U.S., and, like, pioneer women worked.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
In the history of carrying your weight, women have always contributed to getting things done in one way or another. And so but that's a great quote from the Bible, Scott. I guess for you, are you married?
Not currently, no.
So did your mom work growing up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while, it was my dad taking care of the kids. My mom was the one working.
There you go.
There you go.
And would you say that your mother was still a woman of value?
Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd say so. you better say so.
She's listening, Scott. She's listening. Better watch out. Thank you so much for calling. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in.
It's just craziness to me because, one, I grew up in a family where my mom worked 9 to 5. My dad worked second shift. So me, like, two-income household or just both parents working was just normal. There was nothing special. No one ever criticized me for it. And I think when it comes down to all the things we're seeing here at the Turning Points Conference, they're also speaking to a certain demographic of people, which is class, because there are some people who are going to be like, yeah, that's great. You want to tell me that I should stay home with the kids and make babies and smell baby heads and get activated in making babies, but I can't do that. I can't afford that. So there are certain people they're talking to who can afford to do that. It's just easier, I guess. But for us folks who are just working class, blue collar, this doesn't resonate. Well, the transphobic stuff might, but staying home, they don't have the choice.
Well, and that was always the criticism, or has always been the criticism of second wave feminism, right? Is that it was a bunch of white women with the liberation of wanting to be able to work, whereas black and brown women who've like, we've been working. We've been raising your children. Yeah. We've been cooking your meals. Yes. Like, we have been employed and we've been working. So it's a different conversation than you who want to be more than secretaries and teachers and flight attendants. And so the idea that there was this entire trope of the traditional woman is false to begin with because women have always worked.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Paul from Waukesha. Good morning, Paul. What do you think about this?
Good morning. I have to say this isn't the 1940s or 1950s or 1960s or even the 1970s. My mother worked. In fact, she was a breadwinner for a while.
Oh, wow.
When she was single, she was a nurse. You know, she took care of me and my brother. But when I had a stepfather and even my father, she was always a breadwinner. My grandmother did not work a job that she got paid for. But she did have 8 kids. So I don't know. I don't know.
That's work.
She had eight jobs.
And in this day and age, unless, it takes 2 incomes these days.
Yeah.
I don't care who. It's been that way for a long time. But I have to say, I'm listening to your guys' radio station. How come you're not referring to women as not, birthing people or non-birthing people? How come you're using phrases like mom, dad, wife, woman? I mean, you're not following.
We're so woke, man. We're just woke.
Yeah.
We're not woke enough, apparently.
We're not woke enough.
I didn't realize how little woke I was.
Well, that's good to hear.
We'll do better. We'll do better.
Are you disappointed with that, Paul?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I mean, my parents were both Democrats. I was a Democrat. I liked Bill Clinton. Somewhere along the lines, things went awry. And you guys, everybody sees what's going on. Everybody sees who's president. Everybody sees the current issues and the problems and how this country has been taken down in 2.5 years.
Oh, okay.
It's astonishing to me. Astonishing.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know. Do you have a positive outlook?
I do.
I think we probably are frustrated about different things, Paul. I would say I think everyone on both sides of the spectrum, the political spectrum, doesn't necessarily seem happy or optimistic, but I think what they're upset about...
I would agree with that.
...are pretty different.
I will say this.
So we can agree on that.
Based on last week's show, loving that economy.
Thanks for the call, Paul.
Thank you so much, Paul. Have a great day. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. If you don't want to jump on the air with us, or you can always call.
And what's also interesting is I remember talking to Sepide. This was a friend of a friend who's Iranian. And she came in and she spoke to us earlier this year about the protests and the budding revolution that's been going on and still happening in Iran with women's rights and human rights. And, you know, to a certain extent, some of the theories as to why the youth of Iran right now, and this is bubbling over, and the fearlessness and everything that was happening with their willingness to be beaten and if not killed by the government for in order to protest, is largely because of, like, there's Pandora's box is out, right? Like, the ability to be on the internet and see how the world, the rest of the world is living while you are living in Iran is inevitable.
Yeah.
And so they can compare and they can see what else is out there. And to a certain extent, I wonder how much this message that they're trying to feed to young conservative women is just, it's all still a losing battle. You might get some. You might get some who subscribe to it and who, like, this resonates for them and it really makes sense and it becomes part of their religion on top of their religion. But it's also, like, the internet is here. The ability to explore is here. The ability to seek out other messages and see, like, oh, it could be a different way is here. And so it's, like, I don't know if this message is ever going to indoctrinate as many people and or as many women as they want it to.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jack from the MEC. Good morning, Jack. What do you think about this?
Oh, I love that.
Good morning. I'm just going to read a couple of quotes from a March article in Business Insider. A booming labor market, exceptionally strong household balance sheets to keep up with higher spending. Households' net worth far higher than pre-COVID in every single income part. Firms also are going strong with profitability at record highs. Of course, there is a bit of price gouging now, isn't there? Wonder why profitability is so high. Fast wage growth, consistently strong sales growth. Firms are reluctant to turn to layoffs. And finally, from the Fed, there is an absence of convincing systemic threats of recession. This is not taken out of context. So this is the fact. It's to the Republicans' advantage to tell us, oh, the economy is terrible.
Jack, are you responding to Paul?
Yes.
I thought so. Yeah. Do you have any insight on the topic at hand as far as women and their traditional role and what traditionally it has looked like? What did it look like for you growing up?
Well, I can tell you that I'm an old guy. I'm pushing 80. But there is a when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, my dad was the sole breadwinner.
Okay.
I was born right towards the end of World War II, and my dad was a sergeant in the Army at the time, and obviously was home on leave for some of it. My mother actually did not work until my dad died in the 1960s.
Hmm.
And then she did go back to work, and she had her own job. While I went to college and after I graduated for quite a few years until she retired.
Got it.
So both parents worked in my family, but it was serial rather than simultaneous.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. I understand in today's economy, and this is partially due to things like the lack of an increase in the minimum wage and of corporations that don't allow people to negotiate for wages as a union, we have problems with households that cannot earn enough money.
Absolutely.
With a single parent.
Yeah. Thanks so much for the call, Jack.
I want to see Jack and Paul have coffee. Go on.
And I think that that's doable, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
I do. I think that would be doable.
Yeah. So,
it's interesting. And I just wonder, how many, like, the false narrative of being sold that of this is what will be fulfilling for you. And I'm not saying, again, I'm very excited about having a child. I think it's going to be very fulfilling in more ways than I can even imagine. Am I also happy that I waited as long as I did? Absolutely. Thinking about doing this at 23 or 24, be like,
yeah.
Oh, I would have been awful. I would have screwed that kid up royally. and like letting myself mature and get to all the things that are good in my life
organically mm-hmm. versus my family or my religion or Turning Points USA pressuring me to live my life in a certain way to be of value, I feel like I probably would have eventually rebelled against that and be really upset with the decisions I made in my early 20s. So, all right, when we come back, Greg's weekly roundup. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The late 80s. I traveled the wide, wide world and came back to this.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Medner, and he is Greg Bach. And it is Greg's weekly roundup.
With four or five headlines you may have seen, but definitely skipped reading.
Okay.
All right, in Australian food news, celebrity chef John Mountain, that's his actual name, John Mountain, announced in a Facebook post that he is banning vegans from his restaurant in, I think it's Fire, in his restaurant called Fire, spelled with a Y, in Perth, Australia. After an influencer criticized the chef to his face and on social media for his cooking, Mountain posted on his Facebook page that all vegans are banned from his establishment. And if you look at the comment section in the post, they all start with things like, well, speaking as the vegan, or, well, as the vegan, did I mention that I'm a vegan?
Didn't you used to be a vegan?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, but, you know, we can keep talking about this if you want.
Next story, please.
Oh, okay, fine. This is why vegans are an oppressed group, Kristen.
I have a joke to follow up with it.
Go ahead.
If you meet a vegan who went to Harvard, which one do you think they talk about first?
Shut up. Moving on. I don't know. I didn't go to Harvard. I'm not a vegan. Why am I offended by both of them? And it would be Harvard.
Go.
Biden crime family news. GOP punching bag and world's most famous other son, Hunter Biden, will plead guilty to two tax misdemeanors and strike a deal with a federal prosecutor to resolve a felony gun charge. So riddle me this. Tax evasion. Guns. Why aren't the GOP hoisting this guy on their shoulder at their new messiah? If this man just accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior and pushes for the suppression of women's fundamental rights, he could run against his father as a Republican. Are you kidding me? This is like House of Cards without all the Kevin Spaceyisms.
You make a really good point, Greg. I mean, we love tax cheats.
I was literally thinking that this morning. I was like, I thought they liked tax evasion. It's like, it showed that you were smart.
Yes. Tax is theft.
Yes.
It says it right in the Constitution. It doesn't.
We want to protect those people who cheat on their taxes.
Entertainment news. In a recently published interview with the Wall Street Journal, Sylvester Stallone confirmed that singer Adele has not only purchased his Los Angeles mansion, but insisted on keeping a statue of the actor as Rocky that overlooks the pool. When Sly said he wanted to take it with him, Adele said it was a deal breaker. She had to have the statue. She did let him take other statues depicting the action star in other not-so-famous roles such as Oscar, Cobra, or the classic Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Are those real movies?
Those are all real movies. Those are all real movies. By the way, Oscars is underrated. Underrated. Very okay. Fun farce. Very okay. Funny. Also watched Over the Top last night. Okay. More Australia news. Pterosaurus, the world's oldest flying reptiles, once flew in Australia's skies as far as 107 million years ago, according to a study published this week. The giant creature was the first vertebrate to evolve the ability of flight and lived alongside dinosaurs during the Mesozoic era, which started 250 million years ago, or as creationists call it, the Messiahzoic era, which started about 2,000 years ago. Yeah, that entire story was just for me to make fun of creationists or intelligent design proponents. Or, hey, Kristen, I got a joke for you. What do you call an 80s sitcom about four sassy Southern ladies who don't take no guff and don't believe in evolution? It's called Intelligent Designing Women.
Oh.
Comedy.
But I'm fine.
Look at that.
And then finally, Supreme Court news. In a ProPublica story Justice Samuel Alito did not disclose a luxury 2008 trip he took in which a hedge fund billionaire flew him on a private jet, even though the businessman would later repeatedly ask the Supreme Court to intervene on his behalf. Paul Singer, the billionaire hedge fund manager, came before the court, this is a quote, came before the quote court at least 10 times in cases where his role was often covered by legal press and mainstream media. In 2014, the court agreed to resolve a key issue in a decade-long battle between Singer's hedge fund and the nation of Argentina. Alito did not recuse himself from the case, and he voted in the 7-1 majority in Singer's favor. And I'm telling you all that to say this. Paul Singer? Really, Justice Alito? That's the name of your rich friend? Your buddy Clarence was living on the dime of a guy named Harlan Crow. He sounds like he comes from Batman's rogue gallery. I mean, come on, Justice Alito. Let me help you with this. I have the names of actual billionaires you can sidle up to that are cooler than Justice Claire Bear. First one, Ingvar Kamprad.
What?
That's an actual name. Bidzina Ivanishvili. That's a real name. Paul McCartney. Igor, his name is Igor. Igor Ashurbeli. And finally, Salvatore Serretta, which doesn't sound odd, but when I looked him up, while everyone else had a picture of their face, this guy's photo was literally an empty table at a restaurant, which means he's not only a billionaire, he's also achieved invisibility, which makes that way cooler than a private jet to Alaska.
I just think it's nice to know that Clarence Thomas isn't the only one benefiting from being bought off.
Oh, I can't wait for the ones we like to air their dirty
laundry.
They're going to fall to there. I have very little faith in the court.
The fact that when none of them showed up for Congress, they're all like, no, we're good.
We'll check each other's work.
Like,
we're good.
You can trust us.
It's like there's our side and your side. We're sticking on our side, even though we have political, ideological differences. We all wear the same robe.
Why change things now? Things are going just fine.
Just as fine.
Ooh.
That was great.
Thank you. I feel really good about that one.
Golf clap for Greg.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that will wrap up our first hour of today's show. When we come back, long time since this guest has been on the show, but Matt Wild from Milwaukee Record is back. And we're going to talk about, because it really snuck up on us, the first weekend of Summerfest is here.
Yay.
Oh, Greg's not a fan.
So many people.
Gosh. But yeah, Summerfest, and it's three weekend format. Kicks off this weekend, so we're going to talk to him about what does it all mean? What is the Summerfest of today? Oh. Is it past its prime? I don't know.
Is
you
it
tell
a woman
us.
Of value?
Is it a woman of value? Exactly. 844-967-2789. Would love to hear if you think if Summerfest passed its prime? I don't know. But we'll talk about it when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Hamilton's new financial plan is nothing less than government control. I've been fighting for the South alone. Where have you been?
France.
We have to win. Well, what did I miss?
What did I miss?
What did I miss?
I'm so over this.
Head first into a political abyss.
Head first into the abyss.
I have my first cabinet meeting today. I guess I better think of something to say. I'm already on my way to get to the bottom of this.
What did I miss?
Mr. Jefferson.
So what did I miss?